You know, every once in a while, you've got to come back to reality. You know, we live in a sort of a I'm forever blowing bubbles world. Anybody remember that old song? I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. You remember that? How many of you remember it? There's a few of us. Hang in there. We're going to make it. But bubbles are for children. Children blow a bubble, and they clap their hands with glee, and the bubble bursts. You know what they do? They blow another bubble, because they got lots of bubbles. But God didn't call us to blow bubbles. God didn't call us to live in a bubble. I was always amused at the School of Missions when we had a famous teacher. I love the man, great, but he's always talking about his bubble. What kind of a bubble was it, Ray? Space bubble. His space. God help you. God help you forever wanting to live in a bubble. You know, when I was a kid and I used to hear them sing, hold the fort for I am coming, Jesus signal. We used to sing war songs, you know. Now we sing little bubbly songs off the wall. Off the wall. I was in a church recently. On Sunday night, great crowd brought the people to the altar, and neither the organist nor the pianist could play Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. They couldn't play Oh, How I Love Jesus. They couldn't play I Surrender All. I said, what can you play? Little bubbly song. Like they had just taken a Alka-Seltzer. You know, it's bubbly. I told them, I said, we got to sing something with some commitment in it, some fire in it, something that'll put a little iron in your soul. Well, they said, you know, we have all these little courses. They didn't even have a song books in the church. Now, half of these choruses were written, are you with me? Because it gets a little rougher from here to the river. Half of these choruses today were written by someone that only knew three chords on a guitar. Tell me about it. I told you that I had two secretaries take about 250 choruses apart that we're singing today to find out. I said, every time you see the word commitment or you see a sacrifice in those songs, you see any iron in there, blood, sweat, and tears, write it down. They came to me and said, there's in all 250 choruses, there's nothing in there about laying down your life, taking up your cross. Do you hear me? And we've gotten into that. Then we wonder why our people are giving in to every wind and doctrine that comes along. I'm going to tell you something, mister. If you don't have your doctrine straight, you're in trouble. You are dead in the water. Dear God, when I was saved, we only had four doctrines. We only had two sermons, the cross and the coming. That's all we ever preach. Dangle you over hell or take you to heaven. Hey, you had to make a choice. You didn't come to church and sit there and sing your little bubbly choruses. The Holy Spirit moved in. Conviction was in the meeting. And if you had sin in your heart, you were convicted. And you couldn't wait for the altar call to get to the altar and get it right. Amen. And you didn't come like the old Indian that crawled up to the altar back in the days when an early missionary was preaching among them and said, you got to give it up. So he crawls up, and they had blankets at the altar in the straw. And he took his knife out, and he said, oh, God, I'm putting my knife on the altar. Nothing happened to him. You got to do more and put your automobile on the altar or what you live in. So that didn't work, so he took his tomahawk and put that on the altar, and it didn't work. And I could go on with that story all night. But he didn't find peace until he put himself on the altar. Amen? And you see, our problem is not the things... I don't know how I got started on this, but I'm going to go with it. Our problem is not the things around us that's weighing us down. It's not covetousness and lust and drinking and smoking and all of these. These are not the things that are weighing us down. You can tell. Throw them away. Throw them away won't do you a bit of good. Just to throw them away. Just to pour it out. If you're going to, like the fellas preaching said, let's take all the whiskey in this town, pour it in the river. All the beer, pour it in the river. And then they wound up the service by singing, shall we gather at the river? It doesn't do you any good to throw it away. The best thing you can do is get yourself under subjection. Amen? And repent. Woo! Repent. Oh, Greenaway, that's an awful word. Of course it is. But it's a good word. Amen? Repentance is better than throwing it away, pouring it out. You repent and the rest of it will take care of itself automatically. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to worry about it. Amen? Get under the blood. You know, when Mary and I were young, we studied French in Paris. And we took 5 class hours of French a day. You look at me. 5 class hours of French a day. I scratched my head in a subjunctive mood. I split my infinitives, and I left my participles dangling 10 miles in the air. Parlez-vous français? He said, oui, monsieur. Well, anyway. We live for a while near the university, or what they call the university city. And we lived about 3 doors from an artist who had a studio there. He was a prodigy of Picasso. And I once in a while would go down to the studio to get the verb tenses out of my head for a while and watch him paint. One evening I said to him, How do you manage to keep the same color? A blue, a red, a white. And he said, here's what we have to do. And he pulled out a drawer, took out a glass case, and in it was a diamond and a ruby and a sapphire, etc., etc., etc. He said, whenever you paint so long, an artist, your sense of color gets jaded. And what you used to paint a beautiful blue or a beautiful red has degenerated because you lose your sense of color, of true color. He said, when that happens, you come to these stones, these gems, because they are the true color. You following me? And he said, you got to come back then and begin to mix your paints and take that ruby and mix those colors until you get it the color of that ruby. Then he said, you got red. And I walked out of there and I said, dear God, tell me about it. There are times in our life when our sense of rightness, our sense of justice, our sense of sin, our sense of the spirit gets so jaded, we find ourselves doing things we should not be doing, acting like we should not be acting. And the only remedy when you get jaded is to come back to the gem of heaven, hallelujah, and begin to pray and get that in line with the true color. Amen. And when you compare your righteousness with him, then you're beginning to make sense. Amen. When you begin to make, when you begin, I hate these things. I hate to hold them because everybody spits in them. I'm going to tell you something, mister. They never give you what you want. They give you what they want you to have. I either like a crook on here when I'm speaking or a lapel mic. Nah, they come in late and they say, well, you can go with that. No, I'm just kidding. But when you begin to compare your righteousness with one another, you're in trouble. Don't you compare your light, your holiness with mine. Compare it with the holiness. Hallelujah. Compare it with the resurrection and the life and the power and the glory and the resurrection. Then you're in business. Go back to the book. Amen. Whew. Let me read something. I'm going way over. I'm going to way over here. And I'm going to read. I'm going to read today's newspaper. I'm going to read the headlines. If you don't ever get the impression, buddy, that this thing's out of date. Don't ever do it. You make a mistake. Don't ever get the impression that this book can't take care of your needs. Like I've told you, somebody one time wanted me to go to a marriage seminar. It's in a book. I said, what kind? Marriage seminar. Marriage encounter. I said, you're crazy. I said, I've been married to that woman over there 46 years. It's always been an encounter. Every day is an encounter. Ask her about it. She'll tell you. How God could take a precious little thing like that and hook him up, hook her up with this. Loud, extrovert. Tell me about it. It's wild. Hey. But God knows what he's doing. Amen. When I was looking for a wife, I didn't want anybody loud like me. God, we'd have really been in trouble. I want somebody soft. But I'm going to tell you something about her. I'll tell you about her. She's full of vinegar. I learned the day after we was married how you make it. I didn't go to a seminar. I learned, buddy. You say, yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Don't worry about it, ma'am. I'll take care of it, ma'am. That's how you take care of that. It's in the book. You want to know how to take care of, how to treat your wife? It's in the book. And if somebody has to tell you, you're not reading the book. See, our problem is we're not reading the book. It's all in here. It'll tell you how to treat one another. Amen. It'll tell you how to live. It's not cassettes you need half as much as you need to read this book. Amen. Let me read it to you. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now, John is writing from the Isle of Patmos. Now, John, if any of us would have been in the circumstances that John was in, we wouldn't be writing to the seven churches. We'd be writing to the warden. We'd be writing to the Red Cross. Get me out of here. But all you got to do to realize the grace of God, hallelujah, and the strength of His keeping power is to read Revelation. And to know the man that wrote it under the most terrible circumstances. He said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Who was the angel? Who was the angel? Somebody just fluttering around? You know, I'm amazed sometimes at our concept of angels. Little bitty fluttery things with wings. God have mercy. Angels will flatten you. Angels will tear the doors off the prison. Amen. Angels will move mountains at His command. Move it, move it. They are not a bunch of little moths flying around, flittering to our little bubbly meetings. No. Hey, the Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. God have mercy. I remember Ann Tomasek up in Rupadia, up there on the Nepal border, one of the first people that ever took me into Nepal, up there 50 years. Dear God, you cross 1,000 miles of nowhere to get there, and when you get there, you're nowhere. And a young nurse went to India 70 years ago. And lived there the rest of her life. Up there beyond, somebody said, God's knowledge. And one time when I was there, I asked Ann, because it's a desolate, bleak place. I said, Ann, don't you get lonely? You know, it's an amazing thing. But you can be here in the middle of all these people, and if you don't watch it, man, you can be lonely. Did you know that? I had a man tell me the other day that his wife has a disease that her eyes blink involuntarily and they stay closed. It's a disease. I don't know what they call it. He told me, but I can't remember. She can't drive anymore. And she's really a young woman. She can't shop. It embarrasses her to go to church. But you know what he told me? He travels all the time. And we were over in New Mexico. And he said, Brother Greenaway, he said, there are three Assembly of God families that live on our street. And they know her condition. Not one of them have ever called and said, hey, if you need me, we're here. Hey, don't tell me you're full of the Holy Ghost and act like that. Dear God, we're here to serve. We're here to bless one another. Amen. You know why churches fall apart? Because people quit helping one another. And I said, Dan, are you lonely? You know, friends, listen, in the name of God. No, I better not say that. As Brother Rent says, I'm going to be hard on you. Oh, I love him. I miss him. He ought to be here tonight. But anyway, he's not. So, you got to deal with me. And Ann Tomasek told me, she said, Brother Greenaway, I was lonely. She said, I was one of the most lonely people in the world. She said, can you imagine living here in those years without a refrigerator, without lights, without any convenience? And she had in her house sometimes 100 babies, orphaned. And she would tell me how she would lie there in the night, and she had them all in hammocks all around the room. You think you got problems? You people that work with the Royal Rangers, oh, we have such a rough time. God help us. We don't have a rough time. Do you understand that? We live in a land of plenty. Thank God every day that the mercy of geography allowed us to be born in this land. Amen? You're not poor. You're rich. You say, well, I didn't know it. Well, you haven't read your Bible. You haven't evaluated your position in Christ. Amen? I'm rich in Him. I'm not poor. I just look poor. She said one night, she would say how she would lie there and push one hammock with one foot and another hammock with another and one hammock with this, keep those babies quiet. You think you've got trouble? And you know, Ann wasn't anybody's fool. She was educated. Ann was the type of woman that could live up there on that desert, and yet Ann, you could take her to New York City, put a mink stole on her shoulders, and buddy, she would be beautiful in any company. She wasn't anybody's fool, but she did it for Christ's sake. Amen. You got to understand that what you're doing, you're not doing it for my sake, your sake, you're doing it for His sake. Amen. She said one night, very lonely, she said 3 o'clock in the morning, I was standing at the sink and I was getting some bottles ready. And she said, oh God, I am so lonely. And she said, I turned around, and when I did, I bumped into somebody. Woo-wee. She said, it was so real that I said, excuse me. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I am His own. Amen. Amen. And amen, He walks with me. I do not walk alone. She said, Brother Greenaway, from that night on, I have never, never been lonely again. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've never been lonely again. Why? The angel of the Lord, an encampeth round about them that fear him. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he. These things saith he. I didn't say it. You didn't say it. He said it. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. The seven stars, the seven leaders of the seven churches. You know what he's saying? He's saying that he still holds his church in his hand. Amen. You're in good hands today. You see, all I'm trying to do tonight is to get us to go back just a little bit and remember that we do love Jesus. Amen. And when you begin to love him, all of the rest of this malarkey subsides. Amen. And you forget who was mean to you today. If you're going to go to hell over something big, not over somebody didn't speak to you tonight. He holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. We're in his hand. If there's one thing that has kept me through these many years, is the fact that I was in his hand. David said in his distress, let me fall into the hands of God. Don't let me fall into the hands of man. Every time I have allowed myself to fall into the hands of man, I was in trouble. Amen. Let me take, you know, we used to sing an old chorus, take your burden to the Lord, not to one another. He holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walked in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. What does it mean? You know, today I was reading this, and I got so excited with it that I forgot what I was going to preach about. I never know anyway. I shake the tree and shoot whatever falls out. I don't believe some preachers will go when the trumpet sounds. They were not true with their fifth point. Hey, I got one more point. You know he's going to hold up. He has not. Light. The candlesticks speak of light. Amen. Do you realize that we don't walk in darkness? That we walk in light? Do you know that I'm a light? I looked at my pictures they took for the school annual today. God have mercy. God have mercy. But I'm a little light, no matter what I look like. And there's only so much you can do with an Ari's face. Remember when we used to sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's a funny little chorus, isn't it? But I like it. I'm going to tell you something, mister. If you forget he who walks in the middle of the golden candlesticks, he is light, absolute light. Amen. Do you understand, mister, that we live in a world of absolute darkness? Do you understand that? Absolute darkness. And we're trying to pierce that darkness by little bubbles. and our own little handmade candles of doctrine. And our own things that we have concocted in our mind that this ought to be, that ought to be, and we're trying to pierce absolute darkness with nothing. I'm going to tell you something, mister. The only thing that will pierce absolute darkness is absolute light. Amen? What am I saying? There is only one light. And that is he who walks in the middle of the candlesticks. Hallelujah. He is the light. Hallelujah. He is the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. Amen. You're not the sun and I'm not the sun. Anytime you get to shining like you're the sun, forget it. You are not the sun. He is. Amen. You are only the reflection of the sun. I'll tell you what you are. You're a bunch of moons. You're not suns. S-U-N. You're moons. We are only the reflection. There is only one light. Whew. And that is he who walks in the middle of the candle. But I'm going to tell you something, mister. We are not the origination. We are not the sun. We are only the reflection. But I'm sad to say tonight that many of us are not a very good reflection. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, mister, if you ever get your mirrors polished and let the Son of Heaven, he who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, when he shines on you, mister, you are in business. Amen? Now sing that, this little light of mine. We're all just little lights. That's all we are. Did you know that? Now, I know that some people act like the sun, but they're not. They're just little bitty lights. That's all. You understand that? And I got news for you, mister. He is the light. You got that? He is the light. He is the source, right? He is the original, right? Amen? And what are we? Say it. Say it. All right, now let me ask you a question. Does God have big reflections and little reflections? Huh? No, he didn't. You know, see, you'd think some people, you know, I better not say that. But anyway, that's what they think. But I got news for you. The humblest person in our midst tonight is just as great a light. Amen. God doesn't have big lights and little lights. Either you are a reflection of him or you are not. Amen. Let me read on. And you know, there's one thing I've learned. You never need to be afraid of your need of oil. You know, there's two things about a light. It's got to be lit, and it's got to be fueled. Amen? You have to light it, and it has to have fuel to burn. Amen? Now there's only one way that your light can be lit, and that is from the source, because we're only a reflection. Amen. All right, now to keep that light going, who was it? Who was it? Jeremiah that had the vision that saw by the candlesticks, that saw the olive trees by the side. Because it was from the olive tree that the oil came for the light. Mister, let me tell you something. If you've run out of oil tonight, you're in trouble. I know that some of my students sing oil, oil. I have struck oil. But there's more to that than meets the eye. You can run out of oil pretty quick. And your light begins to flicker. And then you're not a true reflection. The only way we can continue to be true reflections. Am I boring you? Are you with me? Let me see your hands. You ought to see your faces. The only way you can keep that lamp going is to keep the oil flowing. Amen. And you know, the apostles, the people wondered. They wondered, how can these men, with their background, they are not theologians. They are not learned men. What are they then? Well, take Peter. He smelled like fish. Take this James and John, sons of thunder. They were the two Irishmen in the bunch. They started a riot on every street corner. Matthew, tax collector. God, you hate him. But he took them. Amen. And he molded them into a fighting force that every one of them took off across this world, the then known world, and went out so far they met their footprints coming back. How did that machine, how did he perfect those men out of the bayous? Huh? Out of the bars? Out of the dens of iniquity, he took men and molded them into one of the greatest armies the world has ever seen. Amen? How did they keep going? By that oil. And see, they knew when they ran out of gas, they knew where they got it the first time. You see what I mean? So if you feel that you've run out of oil tonight, the tank is still there where you got it the first time. Amen? You don't have to run out of gas tonight. Amen? You can always tell when people run out of gas because they start talking to one another. That's right. Boy, they got to have a little... When Jesus cried, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath fed me. Amen. I am filled with fuel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has fed me, replenished me. And now I'm ready to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Amen. And when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, you are ready to live right. Ready to do right. You see, he's the fountain. He is the fountain. You've got to understand. He is the fountain. I am the reservoir. Amen? And as long as I'll go to the fountain, you're not going to get it anywhere else. You are not going to get it anywhere else. You've got to go to the fountain. Amen? You're not going to get it. You've got to go to the source. He is the source. He is the fountain. I'm the reservoir. We are the cisterns. Amen. But if something, well, I better not say that either. Anyway, he said, I know, now he's talking to the church at Ephesus. He said, I know thy works and thy labor. Okay? And thy patience. Boy, this is some testimony for that church. Right? He said, I know your hard workers. You know, it's amazing when I was reading this today, I was reminded that where the church of Ephesus used to be, today stands the mosque of Islam. Now you listen to me, I'm not quite through yet. Here was a church working, laboring, doing, and God is commending them for it. But today, where that church was, now stands mosque. Do you realize that every nation, every Christian nation that Islam conquered, none of them have ever returned to Christianity? Do you realize that? Not one nation in the world that was conquered, one Christian nation that was conquered by Islam, none of them have ever gone back to Christianity again. Christianity has never conquered. You listen to me now. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Now, you know, at Ephesus, I suppose, is where I had one of the greatest revelations I ever had in my life. I was walking down the streets of old Ephesus, and I've told you this before, and it was in the city of Ephesus when I came to where the gates of the city would have been when for the first time in my life, I understood what God meant when he said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It was at this city of Ephesus that John is talking about is where I received that revelation of how the devil one day set at the gates of the city of hell and planned the destruction of the whole world. And planned Calvary, planned all of the dope. If you don't think the devil didn't plan well at the gates of the city of hell on that day, you have a look around you. He planned every damnable sin that is being executed in the world today. He planned it at the gates of the city of hell. He made a mistake. And you've heard me say it. He made a mistake. He planned Calvary, but he made a mistake. He should have known better. He should have known better. He thought when they nailed him to the cross, they nailed the power to the cross. Mister, the truth is when they nailed him to the cross, they only unleashed the power. Amen? And oh, hallelujah. Only released that power. Oh, yes, they put a crown of thorns on his head, and the blood ran down over his face, mixed with the spittle of the Roman soldiers, and they laughed at him. They laughed at the source, the fountain. And he hung there. His visage marred. They dragged him to the slime pits of hell. Stomped on him. Listen, mister, always keep it in mind. That's not just a little story. He did that for you. He did that for you tonight. He did it for me. But, mister, 10,000 kings have been born and lived and wore their crowns. But tonight they're dead and their crowns rot with them in the grave. But my king and your king, hallelujah, is alive tonight. He is alive forevermore. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He will not die. Amen. He is the source. It was at the gates of the city of Ephesus where I saw that for the first time in my life, when they put a purple robe on his shoulders and said he's a high priest. Laugh. He's a high priest. Let him laugh, mister.
Let the people laugh that want to laugh today. But God Almighty will have the last laugh. You keep that in mind. Anytime that you're trying to witness to somebody and they laugh, keep on witnessing. It's not your business to save anybody. Quit trying to save people. Well, what do I do, Greenaway? I want them to be saved. You can't save them. You can't save them. You never saved them. I never saved anybody. You testify. You witness. He said, ye shall be my witnesses. He didn't say, you will be little gods and you will be the Savior. No, he said, you are witnesses. And any of you students that think that you're going out and save anybody, you're wrong. You are witnesses. He'll give you power to witness until his words will burn. Hallelujah. And he will come on the scene and he will save. Oh, hallelujah. He can rattle their cage. Amen. 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 King of kings, Lord God omnipotent. He reigneth. Woo! He reigneth. Not me, not you. He reigneth. Whew. My God, he can open doors that no man can shut. He can shut doors that no man can open. Tell me about it. I have faced more devils, and I'm still facing a few. But, mister, you can't take out of me what he put in me. Amen. You didn't call me. He called me. Amen. Your friends didn't call you. He called you. He's a high priest, they said. But how many tens of thousands of high priests have lived since that day? And they're dead. And their robes rot with them in the grave. But where is my high priest? Huh? Over here in Woodlawn Cemetery. Oh, he's in Jerusalem, in Iraq. He is not. Whew. Woo!
Alive. Alive. Choo, not dead, alive. And because he lives in us, we're dead. No, we're not. If he's in us, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not in you with one leg. Oh, I'm almost filled. You are not. Either you are or you aren't. Are you? Then act like it. You know, the only way you can be full of bananas, you got to eat bananas all the time. Then you can say, I'm full of bananas. But if you're full of the Spirit, whoo, you got to go to the source every morning, every night. Oh, hallelujah. Amen and amen. What are you talking about tonight? If you want it, you got it. Amen. If you haven't got it, it's because you don't want it. Amen. Don't tell me. Somebody came to me and said, oh, I'm afraid. I said, what you afraid of? Said, God's called me to preach. I said, forget it.
He hasn't called you. He said, how do you know? I said, my God, when he calls you to preach, you throw your shoulders back and your head high and you preach. You witness, hallelujah, because you're a reflection. Ah, hallelujah. And anytime you're reflecting him, you're in business. Whew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the
devil would like to murder the church. But you know, you can't murder his church. You can just look like you want to murder it. People say, the devil's trying to kill me. Don't worry about it. He's not trying to kill you. He only wants you to think. Because if he killed you, he couldn't get at you anymore. So don't worry about it. He's not trying to kill you. He's just trying to worry you to death. But while the devil and his cohort sat at the gates of the city of hell, at the gates of the city of heaven, at the same moment sat the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and they planned their strategy. Woo! They planned their strategy. Oh, hallelujah. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. They planned their strategy. And the Father said, Son, you'll go. He said, I'll go. But he said, Son, you will be hated by the Jews, despised. Now I'm talking about he who walks in the middle of the candlesticks. I'm talking about our source of power and strength and victory. He walked his way before us. You will never suffer what he suffered. You will never outgive him. You will never outrun him. And you'll never outwit him. He said, now, son, you'll be rejected by the Jews, hated by the Romans, despised by the Greeks. And in the end, they'll kill you. They'll tear you apart, and they'll stomp on you. Friends, the next time you are prone to complain about your lot, remember Calvary. Amen? Remember Calvary. They'll put you in the grave. But he said, now, son, this will be our strategy early on the third morning. No wonder when he hung on the cross, bleeding, torn, while the spittle ran down over his body, and that crowd looked at him and jeered him and said, hey, if you be the Son of God, like you claim, you be the Son of God. You come down from that cross and prove it. And he looked that motley crowd over. And he laid his head over in the crook of his shoulder. And in his last words, he said, I'm not coming down. But I'll see you. I'll see you. I'll see you. Friday, Saturday. I'll see you on Sunday morning. Woo! I'll see you on Sunday morning. He came, and the devil did what God the Father said he would do. He was hated, rejected, despised, killed, murdered, pushed into the grave. But early on the third morning, God looked over and saw that big lever marked resurrection. It was a big one. Amen. Amen. You're not the resurrection. He is. Amen. You're the reflection. But mister, if you'll stay with him, what a reflection any of us can be. God Almighty early on that third morning said, pull the lever! And the angel pulled the lever and put the forces of the resurrection into orbit. Ooh, they made one pass at that grave, and the stone came tumbling down, and he came bursting forth. Oh, hallelujah, to say, look at me. I am now the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The power and the glory and the strength. I am the strength now of every man that will follow me. Whew. I got to stop. You give me a couple minutes. I won't keep you. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, which thou hast, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. That's today. You know what I mean? He's still walking today in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks. Amen. That high priest that they mocked, he sits at the right hand of the majesty on high, praying for me. Tonight he's alive. Oh, he's got the ear of God. He said, and here we are struggling. Oh, God, we don't know how to pray. We're dumb. But you know what? Every dumb thing I say, he leans over to the Father and he said, now this is what Greenaway is trying to say. This is what the boy means. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! He sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh, hallelujah. And he's saying, God, this is what he means. He's so dumb, but this is what he means. Woo! Tell me about it. And thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not. My God, if we aren't living in a day when everybody's an apostle, everybody's a priest, everybody got it. Dear God, you can't get in anybody's car anymore. The cassettes fall out. Oh, my God, how to rebuke the devil, how to pray. My God, nobody ever taught me to pray. You know how I learned to pray? I kept getting in trouble. Woo! Every time I got in trouble. He said, God, he's dumb. I know him. I saved him, and he's going to make it. But this is what he means. He sits at the right hand of the Father on high, interceding for me. And when I don't know how to pray with groanings and utterings, oh hallelujah, he is God's translator for me. He interprets my prayers and he interprets my needs and he interprets my weaknesses to the Father and said, Father, have mercy. And because he intercedes for me, the Father has mercy on me. I thank God tonight I'm at the mercy of God and not at the mercy of a bunch of cassettes. No, I better not say that. But anyway, God help us. And hast borne and hast patience. And thou hast, and for my name's sake, hast labored and not fainted for my sake. Amen. You know, over there in the 15th chapter of Acts, when it says, when they talked about the delegation they were sending over to Antioch from the first general council in Jerusalem, where they got all messed up, and the Jews were saying, hey, if you want to be a member of the church, you got to be circumcised, and you got to come to church on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, and you got to be a member of this and a member of that, and you got to bring, every time you say box lunch, you bring a box lunch and a paper sack, and you come and buy the hamburgers, and you do this, and you do that, and so then you will, hey. When Peter stood up and he said, now look, boys, I want you to know something. We've all been to the fountain now. And everything's changed. On up until the day of Pentecost, the church was centripetal, which meant it was introverted. Everything, if you wanted to be a member of the church, you had to become a Jew. But on the day of Pentecost, the church was set free from people's standards. Amen? And from people's do's and don'ts. Hallelujah. And they were filled, and the church became centripetal, and the church, instead of being inward, began at the day of Pentecost to go outward.
You've got got to make up your mind tonight, buddy, whether you're centripetal or centrifugal. What are you? What are you? What are you? Admit it. Say it. You can't say it. You can't even say the word. Centrifugal. Say it. Say, I am centrifugal. Amen. Say it again. Amen. And the next time you're hung up on standards and do's and don'ts, remember that at the fountain you receive power to stand on your own 2 feet. Amen. To fight your own battles with Him. Amen. Because when you mess with me, you're not messing with me. You're messing with the man that called me. Tell me about it. Hey, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. I got to stop. I know it. That I went over time, and I haven't even looked at my notes yet. But anyway, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. How in the name of God could a church that had the Royal Rangers and the Missionettes and the senior citizens, no, the Better Years Fellowship, how in the world could a church that's working as hard as that go wrong? That's what he said. He said, I know your work. He said, you're working your little fingers off. He was nice to say that first, wasn't he? He loved to say that to him. He appreciated their work. God appreciates all that we're doing tonight. He appreciates. He loves to see us busy. But not too busy that we have forgotten what started it all in the first place. Amen. What started it, friends? Huh? Was it the Royal Rangers? Huh? When they wrote the letter to Jerusalem, or to Antioch, when they were sending the delegation, they said, it seemed good unto us, being assembled together with one accord, to send unto you our best heavy metal singers. Huh? You know why they call it heavy metal? Because it always sounds like the lead singer dropped an anvil on his foot. That's why it's called heavy metal. Oh, no. It said to send unto you our best theologians. Is that what it says? I got cataracts. No, what does it say? It says to send unto you chosen men. Whew. Friends, do you know when He saved you, He has chosen you. And when He has chosen you, hell can't tear it out of you. Amen? The only thing that can destroy you is you yourself. Nothing can destroy you. To send unto you chosen men who have hazarded their lives for the name of the assemblies of God. Huh? For the name of Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. No? Hey, watch it. Watch it! You know where you are. No, it says chosen men who have hazarded their lives for the name, say it with me, for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah! Say it again. For the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Say it one more time. For the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Gotta stop. Stand. Whoo, God, help us tonight.
Ukarabarandalabasandaya. Hilabarandalabasandaya.